Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Tes Zayin. We are on the very bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis, continuing with discussion of Paritzka Olmeid. This discussion is going to be taking us through a good part of today's daf. The discussion that started off yesterday was opens with the following premise, that in order to have a wall that is going to be halachically valid, so you have to have more material than airspace. So if it is Olmeid Meruba ala Paritz, if I have more material than airspace, then absolutely that's a wall. And that is what we established back in the Mishnah. If you look at the Mishnah, it says Vav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah describes some caravan. They're traveling. They stop for Shabbos. And they basically want to make a makeshift enclosure that goes around them. So the Mishnah says basically that as long as you have more materials, they're going to basically use all the utensils to make this wall. They're going to put down their saddles and whatever materials that they have. They're making a makeshift enclosure. Everything, obviously, that is circumscribed within the enclosure is going to be Rishus Yachid. The only provision is that there has to be more actual wall than there's airspace. And if that's in fact the case, so then what you have is a valid mechitza. You have a valid enclosure. The Mishnah also mentions that you cannot have any opening that's wider than 10 amos, because anything wider than 10 amos is no longer considered a Pesach. It's not an entrance, but rather it's a pirza. It's considered a breach. But outside of that, also, there needs to be a total of more wall than airspace. Good, this is what we established in the Mishnah yesterday, on the bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara brought about the following debate, and that is, what if they're equal? Certainly, if you have more airspace than you have wall, so that's certainly invalid. That goes without saying. That is clear. However, what if they're equal? You have an equal amount of wall and airspace, 50-50. So here we have a Machlokas HaMarayim between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua. Rav Papa says that Omeid, that Paritz Ka Omeid, is considered a mechitza, therefore it's going to be mutter. And Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua says no, that if I have equal amounts, it's going to be aser. What we did yesterday is we started the discussion, we already went through two proofs, and the Gemara defended so far both positions. And what we're going to be doing over the course of this morning is we're going to be going through an assortment of other proofs as well. We're going to be seeing a Braisa, followed then on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, a Tosefta, really lengthy Tosefta. It's going to be occupying us through the majority of the Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to continue its discussion all the way till we get to the Amud Beis of today's daf, where the Gemara is finally going to arrive at a conclusion on this matter. And we will, by the end of this sugya, see the Gemara is going to determine the halacha to be one of these two. One of these two litigants. We're going to be seeing that at the end of the entire sugya. And then when all said and done, even as we get to the end, and even as we get to a conclusion, so Tosfos notes that our conclusion over here is not the same as a conclusion in Chulin, and we're going to get to that later as well. And then after that, we embark on a new Mishnah. Okay, so we have our work cut out for us this morning. We are on the very bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis, starting with the words Tashma. Shayar Shechanta Bevika, so we have this caravan. That they encamped in a valley, Vikifua. And so again, so here the Braisa, like our mission, is describing a scenario in which they're putting utensils around in order to create enclosures. And they put on Gamalim Be'ukafos, Be'avitim, Be'shlifim, Be'kinim, Be'kolchos. So you'll forgive me, I don't know what all these utensils are. Rashi spends a little bit of time going over what they are. The point is that they basically are items, the utensils that they put around them. So then, metaltalim b'socha. So then, you're allowed to carry within the entire perimeter of avash. Lo yeh ben gamal gamal kum lo gamal. And now, what you can't have is airspace. Now, the way the Braisa reads really simply is that if you have airspace that's equal to the actual material. Now, camels can be used as part of your materials. Remember yesterday we had a discussion as to whether or not balei chayim can be used as a lechi. So over here, presumably, right, we're subscribing to that viewpoint. Anyway, if I have more airspace if I have airspace as much as camel, ubein ukaf lo ukaf kamelo ukaf, same thing with the saddles, ubein avid avid kamelo avid, or whatever this other utensil is. So, if I have equal amounts of airspace and material, so then it's not going to be good. Okay, great. That's the simplest reading of the Braisa, is that if I have equal amounts, it's not a mechitza. And the simplest reading of the Braisa now is going to be supportive of Rav Huna, and it's obviously going to be difficult for Rav Papa. So Hachinami, so the Gemara now, in defense of Rav Papa, will say, Kishenichnas v'yotze. Okay. So we'll suggest, like we suggested in yesterday's daf, in terms of other braisas that were difficult to read, is that it doesn't mean that the airspace is equal to the amount of the material, but it means that you have actually a little bit more airspace than that of the material. In fact, I could take the material and put it in, put it out, I don't have to wedge it through. There's just enough room in order to take the corresponding material to put it in and out. So that means to say that I have just a little bit more airspace than I have wall. Under those circumstances, it's not good. But had it been equal, so it would have been valid. Okay, so that's how we dealt with that braisa. Similar approach that we saw yesterday regarding regarding the braisa regarding sukkah and the shpudim. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara, here we are about to embark on a lengthy Tosefta. The Tosefta itself is not too long, but the Tosefta coupled with the Gemara's analysis of the Tosefta is going to be occupying us for the remainder of Amud Aleph of today's daf. So let's get really comfortable with the Tosefta with just a quick word of introduction. Here we're going to be talking about Mechitzos as it relates to Kalayim. So we've already seen this idea before. Mechitzos not only affect in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, in terms of being able to carry within a perimeter circumscribed by a wall, but Mechitzos also help in terms of Kalayim as well, in that we know that you're not allowed to plant vineyard together with other growth, of specifically anything which is not a tree, so like seeds, vegetables, wheat, barley. So I can't plant them irvuvia. I cannot plant them all together. If there has to be distance between them, however, as we already discussed before, but we're pointing out right now, if I have a wall separating them, so I can plant the vineyard on one side and immediately on the other side of the wall, so I can plant whatever seeds I want on the other side. So a wall is going to establish a break between the two, and so which allows me to plant vineyard directly against the wall on one side, and the seeds on directly on the other side. And here, with that stated, so what the Tosefta is going to teach us is what is considered a valid wall, meaning at what point in time do we have a valid wall. So we're going to start off where the braisa does not start off, which is kind of obvious, but let's just establish. So if I have a physical wall, and I'm planting on one side the grapes, on the other side I'm planting other seeds, that of course is going to be totally fine. Meaning the braisa doesn't have to deal with that because that's obvious. What the braisa is going to be dealing with is that I don't have a perfectly good wall. It is not a perfectly constructed solid wall, but rather what I have is gaps. And so what we're going to be discussing in this braisa is that when I have a combination of slats and gaps, so then when is it exactly that I consider this wall to be valid so that I can now view these plantings as two separate plantings. That is what is going to be discussed in the course of this braisa, and the braisa is basically going to break it up into three categories. Tashma. Nimses ha-ta'omer shal shmitas b'mechitzos. We are in Tetzayin Amud Aleph. We are about five lines from the top of the Amud, embarking on a Tosefta. The Tosefta starts off with that we're going to break it up into three categories when it comes to walls. Category number one. Kol shehu pachos mishlosha. So let's say the slats themselves, we're talking about the actual posts, are less than three tfachim wide. So tzarech shelo yehi bein zeh lezeh shlosha kedei shelo yizdaker gedi bevas harosh. So now, if these slats that are less than three tfachim are placed at distances of less than three tfachim, so that means that the gaps between them are less than three tfachim. So so then what we have over here is we have a wall. And it's a valid wall, it's a legitimate wall. As long as the goat is not able to stay basically go through the gaps unimpeded. Okay? Now, if you're wondering really what we should be describing over here, if the gaps are less than three tfachim, so then what halachic mechanism are we using? So it's interesting. You would have expected, as I, that the Gemara would have invoked the word lavud. The Gemara does not invoke the word lavud. It talks about the goat walking through them, through the gap, unimpeded. That's a little bit strange, but as Rashi points out over here, when the Gemara uses this term of goats going through, it really means lavud. Rashi writes over here, first narrow line of Rashi, tzarech shelo yehi bein zeh lezeh gimel, kedei shelo yizdaker hagadi bevas harosh, klamer lehedja below ikuv. The goat is going to be able to go unimpeded. The dekir is gedi, because once the goat is able to go through, mevat alei mitaros lavud. So that means that we no longer have the principle of lavud. So Rashi understands that really the expression of the Gemara is really synonymous with lavud. So, category number one is actually very straightforward, and that is that when the slats themselves are less than three tfachim, and the gaps between them is less than three tfachim, so then what we have now is halachically a totally valid wall. And because halacha views any gap that's less than three tfachim as if it's filled in, and so what we have is a wall. And now what I can do is I can plant on one side, plant another type on the other side, and it would be perfectly fine throughout. Not only against the gaps, but even against the, not only against the slats, but even against the gaps as well. Category number one, good. Category number two in the braisa. Kol shehu gimel. So let's say the slats themselves are anywhere within a range of 3 to 4 tvachim. So here, as long as the gap in between is not equal to the slats, because if I had equal amounts of slats and gaps, so then what we're going to have is parts ka'omid. So then we have an equal amount of airspace and material. And if there was more airspace than there was actual wall, so then even against the wall, it's going to be aser. So in the second case of the Braisa now, so my slats are a little bit larger. They are anywhere within the range of 3 to 4 tefachim. The gaps in between them, well, if they were less than 3 tefachim, we all know that that would, of course, be fine, because then we have lavud. But even if they were more than 3 tefachim, so here now they have to take the following into consideration. If I have more wall than airspace, so that's great, because then I have parus, sorry, I have amud merubala parus. If I have more airspace than wall, that's no good. Now, the simple reading of the Braisa is that if they're equal, it's also no good. That's a simple reading of the Braisa. And that's exactly why we're quoting this Braisa, because this Braisa would certainly indicate that equal amounts is also not going to be good as well. Now, here in this scenario, why is this its own separate category? Well, we are now discussing where the gaps are a little bit larger. Obviously, that's different than the first category. In the first category, we're talking about the gaps being less than 3 tefachim. But over here in this category, the reason why, in addition to the gaps being more than 3 tefachim, and the reason why this is its own separate category is because, consider, the slats in this category is anywhere between 3 to 4 tefachim, meaning a little bit 3 or above, less than 4. Why is that significant? Because if the gaps in between them is less than the actual slats, so then you have a bona fide wall continued throughout. If, however, let's say the gaps are equal or less, so what do I have? And the answer to that question is, I have nothing. Meaning, obviously, in the gaps in between each one of the slats, so it's greater than 3 tefachim, so therefore we don't have lavud, and so therefore I can't plant the grapes on one side and the other seeds on the other side. But even against the slats, I have nothing. Why? Why do I have nothing? Because the wall in its entirety is not considered a wall. Again, assuming that the amount of airspace is equal or greater than that of the wall. And even the slats themselves are not halachically valid in of themselves. Why? Because a wall is considered at its base minimum 4 tefachim. Anything that less than 4 tefachim in of itself does not have enough halachic significance that it could separate the vineyard from the other seeds. So as we're going to see, the Gemara is going to make this point really clear. I'm just saying it now so that we appreciate at this point in time why the second category is a category in of itself. Okay. And then category number 3, as we continue now in the Braisa, Kol Shehu Dala Me'arba Ad Eser Amos. Now, if the slats themselves are anywhere above 4 tefachim, all the way up to 10 amos, Sarach Shelo Yehe Bein Zeh Lezeh Kim Lala. So I can now, and I have gaps in between, as long as the gaps themselves are not the same size as the slats, Shelo Yehe Paretz Komet, because then what we would have is that we would have equal amounts of airspace and wall. Now, let's say I do have equal amounts of airspace and wall. So now here, it's going to be different. Meaning, in the wall in its entirety, it's not going to be considered a wall. However, what I can do is just look at the slats, plant the vineyard on one side, plant the other seeds on the other side. Against the slats, that would be fine. Kenegra parutz aser, but against the gaps, that would be aser. The im haya omed meruba la parutz, af kenegra parutz mutter. Now, in this circumstance, if I have more wall than airspace, so now I can look at the totality of the structure. And because I have more wall than airspace, the entire wall, meaning not only the slats, but the gaps as well, are all considered part and parcel of the wall. And therefore, it would be mutter to plant the vineyard on one side and the other seeds on the other side, not only on the area corresponding to the slats, but even on the areas corresponding to the gaps as well. Nifrit sabi yoser meyaser aser. If, however, I have an opening that's wider than 10 amos, so then it's going to be aser, because then it's no longer, it could be viewed as a pesach. Now it's a pirsa, that is going to create a break in the action. Hayusham kanim hadukranim va'osalem peyam lamala afil biyoser meyaser mutter. The last line of the Braisa, which is not going to be our discussion, but it should sound familiar because we did this just a short couple of days ago in Daf Yud Aleph, is that let's say I made it Tzuras HaPesach, so I had posts, and above the posts I had a vine running on the top of the posts, So then, even if it's more than 10 amos, it would be mutter because Atzuras HaPesach is able to overcome the problem of greater than 10 amos. This is a discussion we had already earlier in this perek. So this is the end of the Braisa. Adkan Divrei HaBraisa. Okay. So, as much as the Braisa over here is giving us the basic halachas regarding walls, so admittedly, the Braisa just gave us a lot of information, and I highly recommend, at this point in time, stop, go over the Braisa again, really get comfortable with the wording of the Braisa, because the analysis that's coming up at this point in time is going to be all based on the precise wording of the Braisa. And so, I'm going to go, obviously, a little too quickly over here, but we're going to go through now the Gemara's analysis, Ketani Mi'as, Reisha, Migimel, V'Adalet. So let's take a look now at the first case. We don't literally mean the first case. It really is the second category, where the slats themselves are anywhere from 3 to 4. As long as there is not equal amounts of wall and airspace. So the wording of the Braisa clearly is now telling us that if there are equal amounts, that's not a good mechitza. Tiyufta de Rapapa. So that's very difficult for Rapapa. How is Rapapa going to be reading that line of the Braisa? So Amlecha Rapapa, my milua nichnas viyotzei. So Rapapa is going to go to his classic maneuver over here, and that is that even though the reading of the Braisa sounds like that the wall and the airspace are equal, what it really means is that there's more airspace than there is wall. So Hachinami Mistaber. Now the Gemara says, if you think about it, now if I go back to the Braisa and I try to read that into the Braisa, believe it or not, it actually reads into the Braisa because consider. The Braisa says, if there is more airspace than there is wall, so then I can't plant even against the wall. Meaning that the Braisa actually says that when is the wall going to lose its status of the wall? When there's more airspace than there is wall. So haka omen mutter. Now over there the inference is very clear that if they're equal amounts, it would be mutter, shmaminam. So now, as I'm reading Rapapa's answer into the Braisa, it actually now, sorry, as the Braisa continues, it actually reads really well in the continuation of the Braisa. So now, now that it reads so nicely within the Braisa, now we go back to the sheet of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who says that when they're equal, it's going to be possible. How is he going to be reading the Braisa? So Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua says, I'm really comfortable with the Braisa because I'm going to read a section of the Braisa and tell me if it sounds like what I'm saying. The Braisa goes on to read, Maya Omid Maruba ala Paras, if there's more wall than airspace, I've connected a Paras Mutter. So then I can plant not only against the actual walls, but I can plant even in the gaps between the walls. Now, what is the inference over there? Haka Paras Aser. That means to say that if they're equal amounts, it's going to be Aser. So now, clearly that section of the Braisa sounds exactly like Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua is saying. If at this point in time you're well and confused, that's great. Because now what we just discovered in the Braisa is that there are inferences going in both directions, both in the direction of Rav Papa and in the direction of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So now the Gemara is going to note what is each going to do with the inference that is not in agreement with their position. Seifa Kashla Rav Papa, Resha Kashla Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So the inferences now work against each position, as well as working in favor of each position. So Seifa Rav Papa Lo Kashya. So as far as the end of the Braisa is concerned, for a puppet, that's not difficult because I did the Tana Resha Parts Marubala Amud, Tana Seifa Omen Marubala Paras. So what Rapapa will say in his defense is, look, we see this all the time throughout Braisas. Sometimes Braisas are worded in a way of just creating symmetry. We want that parallel structure in the Braisa. So in the first part of the Braisa, where the language was Parts Marubala Omed, and according to Rapapa, that's precise. So the second half of the Braisa uses a language which is imprecise, but it's symmetrical. Remember, back in the good old days, they used to memorize Braisas. So the symmetrical language of the Braisa was favored, even though the language itself is somewhat imprecise. So Rav Papa says, perfect. So that's what I'll tell you in terms of how to read the Braisa. The first way, the first phrase of Parts Murba Omeid, that's when the wall is no good, meaning, and the inference there is if it's equal, it's going to be good. Rav Papa says, perfect. With that inference, that's exactly the intent of the Braisa. And the second half of the Braisa is just there for purposes of symmetry, and don't make an inference from the second half of the Braisa. And the Gemara says, we'll do the same thing for Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, we'll just go in the opposite direction. Reisha Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Lo Kashi Yidid Abay Lemisne Seifa Omeid Merubala Paretz Tana Reisha Paretz Merubala Omeid. And Rav Huna will just say the same thing, but in the reverse. Meaning that the inference that the Braisa wanted to create at the end which is precise according to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, that if I have more wall than airspace, then it's good. Then and only then it's going to be good, meaning that if it's equal, it's going to be pasul. And as far as the ratio is concerned, so the ratio was just there to create symmetrical structure of the braisa, but don't read the ratio so with its inference intent. Okay, now, what we have over here is a braisa. The braisa is a support for Rav Papa, and it's a support for Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. It's just a question of which side of the braisa is creating the precise inference, and the Gemara says that's the debate between the two. Now, Bisham l'Rav Papa mishum hachilo irav luhu v'tanu luhu ela l'Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua l'Ravina v'lisninu. The Gemara goes on to another point, same topic, but another inference from the braisa. You see, according to Rav Papa, when we transition from category number one, category number two, it was perfect. According to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, what's that transition? Why are we moving from category number one to category number two? We don't have to. And the Gemara is going to explain. What should the Braisa have said according to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua? Let's read what the Braisa should have said. Kol shu pachos mishlosha vishlosha sarach shelo yeh ben zeh lezeh shlosha. The Braisa, according to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, says that if the slats themselves, or anything less than three, or even if they're exactly at three, so then what you can't have is that you can't have a gap in between them less than three. Once the gap is three, so then it's no good. Now, consider, why would this be true according to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua? Because remember, from Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua's standpoint, equal is also disqualified. So if the slats themselves are less than three, and the gaps are three or more, so that's no good. Why? So because you have over there more airspace than you have walls. And because there are three and above, you don't have lavud. Now, when the slats are exactly at three, and the gap is also going to be exactly at three, that's also not going to be good according to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, because that's equal, and equal, according to him, is not a mechitza. So what comes out now is that the braisa took the slat of being three, moved that into the next category, and the Gemara wants to know, but according to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, it didn't have to do that. The Braisa's first category could have gone from the slat being less than three, all the way up to and including three as well. So why didn't the Braisa do that according to Rav Huna? So the Gemara says, Mishum de lo dami psula de resha psula de seifa. But the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because even though the conclusion is the same, but they don't belong in the same category. They are categorically different. Because in the first category, what is the disqualification? It's lavud. It's a failure of lavud. Meaning that when the gaps are anything less than three, you have lavud. When the gaps are three or above, you don't have lavud. So that's category number one. Category number two, it's an entirely different psul. Psul de sefer shaliyeh parts kolmei. In category number two, when the wall and the airspace are equal, so again, we're learning like Rav Huna right now, when they're equal, it's going to be disqualified. So when I have a slat being three tefachim and the gap in between being three tefachim, the reason why it belongs now in a new category is, yes, it's true, I no longer have lavud, but that's not why it's pasul. The reason why it's pasul is because the wall and the airspace are equal, and according to Rav Huna, equal is disqualified because you need more wall than you have airspace. So that's why it would be no good according to Rav Huna. It just simply belongs in a new category because it is categorically different. Pachus mishlosha mani. Okay, we're almost done over here in our terms of analysis of the braisa. We have just a little bit more to go, and that is the following. The author of this braisa, in terms of lavud, remember we had already presented to us a number of times in this perek that lavud is that when I have a gap less than a certain amount, the gap is viewed as it's filled in. What is that certain amount? So we assume it's less than three tefachim. But as we saw already numerous times in this perek, machlok is between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Chachamim say the number is three. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the number is four. Our braisa over here, who is it subscribing to? Is it subscribing to the Chachamim or Rav Shimon Gamliel? It's a little bit unclear, and the Gemara wants to try to clarify. Pachos, we are two lines from the bottom on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. So when I read the Braisa and I got through category number one of the Braisa, so I would have said clearly that the Braisa is subscribing to the Chachamim. That part's easy. However, in Masefa. But then you move on to the next category of the Braisa. Then the category number two, we're talking about where the strats themselves are anywhere within the range of 3 to 4. And as long as the gap is less than 4, so then it's going to be good. Now, who is that subscribing to? Asan Rosh Shimon Gamliel. Well, that's Rosh Shimon Gamliel. Damar Pafos Mi Arba'a Lovud. As we're now on the top of the Amud Beis. Di Rabbanim Shoshavar Arba, Shoshavar Arba Charu. According to the Chachamim, I don't understand. Once you're above 3, once the gap is above 3, so then we don't have Lovud anymore. So anywhere from 3 and above is going to be the same anywhere from 3 is going to be the same as from 3 to 4. So the Gemara says, so according to the Chachamim, why is this now in its own distinct category? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Amar Abayim Midereisha Rabbanan Sefer Nami Rabbanan. So first of all, the Abayi says, look, the entire Braisa belongs to the authorship of the Chachamim. Lavud is from anywhere below 3. Omoda Rabbanan Dechol Lemishre Kenegdo Iik Amakom Arba Chashav Ilal Lo Chashav. Now as far as category number 2 is concerned, now I know we made this point when we read the Braisa, but here's where the Gemara says it explicitly. Look, when I have the slats themselves being anywhere in the range from 3 to 4, and the corresponding gap in between them is going to be the same amount. So here's what we're going to say. What do I have? I have nothing. The gap itself is nothing because it exceeds 3. And again, Abai is telling us that the author of the Raisa is the Chachamim. Then anything 3 and above, we no longer have Lavud. So as far as the gap is concerned, we have nothing. But even as far as the slat is concerned, we also have nothing. Why? Because the slat itself now is cannot be treated as a wall, because it's not connected to the slat next to it, because the gap is too wide. And even the slat in of itself is nothing, because in order for a slat to be significant in of itself, it has to be minimum 4 tefachim. That's the point of the Braisa. And that's why the Braisa puts it in its own separate category. Good. So that's one way to read the Braisa. This is a wise way of reading the Braisa. And that means that the authorship of the Braisa is really the Chachamim. Lavud is anything up to 3, but from 3 and above, we no longer say Lavud. Rava says, okay, I'll give you a different way to read the Braisa. Rava Amrami Desefer Rav Shimon Gamliel Reisha Nami Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Really, the author of the Braisa is Rav Shimon Gamliel, where Lavud is up to 4. Now, if that's true, so then how do you read the first section of the Braisa, category number 1 of the Braisa? Because category number 1 says that anything up to 3 is good. If the gap is less than 3, that's good. If the gap is greater than 3, that's no good. How could you possibly read that as Rav Shimon Gamliel? Now, so Rabbi will explain as follows. V'chi amar Rav Shimon Gamliel amin lavud hani mili lamala. Ava lamata hava leke mechitza shagdim bokem ba lo amri lavud. So Rabbi gives us a chiddush, and that is that even within the Shita Rav Shimon Gamliel, where lavud is a gap up to 4 tefachim, that's true as long as we're not close to the ground. But if the gap is anywhere proximate to the ground, so even Rav Shimon Gamliel would tell you that the dimensions, that the gap cannot be wider than 3. Why? Because if the gap is anything greater than 3, proximate to the ground, so the ghost can go through. Since the ghost can go through, that already takes away the status of the wall. I can't view it as a wall anymore if it cannot impede a goat going from one side to the other side. And so even Rav Shimon Gamliel, who has a greater allowance of lavud up to 4 tefachim, but once you're anywhere proximate to the ground, even he would say that you cannot have a gap greater than 3. Okay, that's Rav's chiddush within Rav Shimon Gamliel. Happens that we don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, we pass like the Chachamim. So as far as we're concerned, it is a creative way to read the Braisa, but it doesn't affect the halacha from our perspective, because we pass like the Chachamim, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay. So that was a long proof that we went through based on the Tosefta regarding Kalayim in terms of whether it supports Rav Papa or Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua. As a quick summation, it supports both, meaning there are inferences that can go in either direction. And so the Gemara notes that each of them is going to point to the inference that really produces their conclusion. As far as the other inference is concerned, it was just for symmetrical purposes. We're now to the next Braisa. And this is going to be our last Braisa that is going to be on this topic of what do we say regarding Paritz Ka'omed. Again, Machlokas Amarim, Rav Papa Rav Huna. Rav Papa says that Paritz Ka'omed is considered a mechitza. According to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, it is not considered a mechitza. And we're continuing our discussion. We are on to Zayin Amud Beis. We're 2 lines down from the wide lines. Defanos halalu sherubam tashmal. Sorry. Defanos halalu sherubam psachim v'chalonos mutar v'vashalei omed meruba ala paris. This brisa should also sound familiar. We saw this brisa earlier in the perek, and that is that when I have a wall where the majority of it are openings, windows. Windows, as we already pointed out, does not mean like our windows. Windows just simply mean gaps. So the wall would be mutter as long as I have more wall than airspace. Now, the Gemara says the Brisa is really hard to read. Sheruban Salkadatcha, the Brisa opens up by saying, well, the majority of it is doorways and windows. How can the majority be doorways and windows, and yet I have the majority of it being walls? That's really difficult. So, Ela Sheriba Behem Psachim Vechalonos, Motor Uvavach Sheyehei Omen Meruba Lapar. So, just a very slight editing of the Brisa. It doesn't mean that the majority of it are windows and doorways. It means that there's just simply a lot of windows and doorways. But when all said and done, the sum total of the wall is that I have more wall than airspace. Under those circumstances, it's going to be considered a valid wall. Now, the inference over here, it's pretty clear, and the Gemara makes it right now. Hakaparas usur. That means to say that if they are equal, it's going to be usur. So, tiyufta, the Rav Papa, tiyufta. So, the Gemara says, okay. So, really, the simplest way to read the Braisa is that it does suggest, like Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua, in that when it is equal, it is going to be a pasul mechitza. So, okay, so where do we stand right now? It sounds like we're concluding like Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua. And not so fast. V'hilchasa kavasa de Rav Papa. And the Gemara says that the halacha follows like Rav Papa. So, tiyufta v'hilchasa, the Gemara says, wow, that's amazing. So, we just challenged the shita Rav Papa. Not only did we challenge it, we refuted it. So, we've ended at the point of checkmate. And then the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, the halacha follows like Rav Papa. The Gemara says, that seems to be inconsistent. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm telling you that the halacha follows like Rav Papa, mishum d'daika masnitzin gavasei d'nan. Because when you read the Mishnah reads simple like Rav Papa. Lo yipirtzos yiseros ala binyan. That the openings cannot be more than the binyan, more than the structure. And so the simplest reading of that price is haka binyan mutter. Is that if they're equal with one another, then it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara's conclusion is that at the point of equivalency, when the airspace and the actual walls are equal to one another, so the halacha is that it is going to be considered mechitza, and it would be mutter. 2 points to just bring up over here before we move on to the next Mishnah. Number one, can we be so precise in our measurement? So that's something which we touched on yesterday, and Tosfos touched on that point yesterday, and that is whether or not Eshel et Samson or Yeshel et Samson. So I'm just reviewing what we saw yesterday in Tosfos. I didn't read the Tosfos inside yesterday, but anyway, but Tosfos says that if it's something where we could measure it, meaning it is something that we created, and therefore we can always measure it, but it's something we created. So by a dayim, if it's something that we put together, so then we can be mitzamtzim, then we can make a precise measurement. This is subject to a discussion in terms of whether it's such a distinction can in fact be made, but Tosfos made such a distinction. Anyway. I'm just raising awareness to the fact that the Gemara does discuss whether or not it's possible for us to be so precise. It's clear from our entire Gemara discussion that you can be. The other issue, which Tosfos also brings up here on the top of Tzayinim and Beis, and that is the following. Take a look at the top Tosfos over here, where he's bothered with the conclusion that we've arrived at over here in Erevin, and meanwhile there's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin also discusses Mechza Mechza, and that is by the mitzvah Shechita. When you shecht an animal, so there are two pipes that one has to get through. There's the kan and the vesha, the windpipe and the esophagus. And the halacha is that it's only a valid shechita if I cut the majority of it. Meaning if I cut less than the majority, so then the shechita is not going to be a good shechita. Of each pipe, you must cut more than 50% of each pipe. If I cut 49% of each pipe, that's not going to be good. What if I cut 50% of each of the pipes? I know they biologically they don't stand side by side, one's in front of the other. But anyway, but the point is that let's just right now deal in the abstract. What if I cut 50%? So the Gemara in Chulin has exactly that discussion. And the Gemara's conclusion over there is that it's not good and it's not going to be good shechita. And Tosfos now wonders, by mechitzas, we just concluded that mechza mechza is going to be a good mechitza. And meanwhile, by shechita, mechza mechza is not going to be a good shechita. And that is difficult. Tosfos writes over here, it's a really short Tosfos. Tosfos writes over here, last line of Tosos, so a distinction has to be made between mechitza versus isser and tumah. Meaning the Gemara's discussion in Chulin over there was not just limited to shechting an animal, but also tumah was involved in that discussion as well. So on the topics of Isser and Tuma, so we're going to say Mechza, Mechza is no good. On the topic of Mechitza, which is what we're discussing, so Mechza, Mechza is going to be good. And Tosha says you have to draw some sort of distinction between the two categories. Or I guess we could say three categories. Two of which we're going to be Machmir, and one we're going to be Mekah. Okay, good. And this, obviously, this Tosos Nen becomes the beginning of a really lengthy discussion in terms of what exactly are those distinctions going to be. How can you distinguish between these categories? Why is it that we're going to be more lenient by Mechitza, where 50-50 is going to be good, but in the categories of Isser and in the category of Tumah, 50-50 is not going to be good. Okay, there are much more to say regarding the Tosos, but just to generate some thought in terms of what those differences could be, right now, I'm going to leave it up to you to consider what are possible differences. We're going to continue now in the Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah, Tezainim and Beis. Makifin Shlosha Chavalim Zilam Alamizu. So here in the Mishnah, we're going to be dealing with making a wall, but the wall over here is going to be somewhat inferior. Halachically beautiful, but as far as walls are concerned, it's not a solid wall. The Mishnah over here is describing a wall that's basically made by three ropes. And so what I'm doing now is that I am taking three ropes, and I am lining them up horizontally. And what I'm going to do is, with the three ropes, the first one is going to be just under three tefachim above the ground. The next one is going to be just under three tefachim above the first. And the third one is going to be just under three tefachim above the second. And so what I have done now is I have created a halachic wall using the principle of lavud. Anything less than three tefachim, the halacha views it as if it is filled in. And so what I have now is a wall, a halachic wall, but nevertheless it's going to be a wall. Now, uvavan shelo yehei bein chevel lechaver shlosha tefachim shir chavalim ve'ovyam yeser al tefach kedei sheyeh hakol asar tefachim. So the Mishnah points out, however, that it's almost that easy, but with one important detail, and that is you have to take into consideration the thickness of the rope that you're using. Why? Because consider. Yes, it's true. Anything that was within three tefachim one another, we say lavud. That part's true. But if I used string that was just a thread width, so what do I have? I have basically 3 plus 3 plus 3. I have 9 tefachim in total. That's not a wall. A wall has to be 10 tefachim. So that means to say that the rope is being used over here has to have a certain amount of thickness. It has to have some girth. How much? Just a little over a third of a tefach. So that now when I'm taking the principles of lavud, because remember, the distance between each gap is slightly under 3. The rope themselves now are going to be just a little over a third. The aggregate total now of the gaps together with the rope is going to be a total of 10 tefachim. Then I have now a wall. Now, not only can I do this horizontally, but the Mishnah says I can do this vertically as well. If I put a pole vertical, and I put another pole, and as long as the gaps between them is less than 3 tefachim, so then what we have over here, again, is another halachic wall. Good, so now we have a horizontal and vertical halachic wall, and now what we're going to be discussing is, being that this is inferior. Now, the Mishnah doesn't describe it as being inferior. That was me, so I get the credit or the blame. But it's inferior in the sense that when you look at it, so you understand that the halacha allows for a wall to be constructed, but when all said and done, it is not a bona fide wall. It is a wall as far as halacha is concerned, but being that it's not a solid wall, so it is considered somewhat inferior. And the discussion that the Mishnah is going to have now is that being that it's quote-unquote somewhat inferior, does it have any limitations? This is a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Bishayara, so shoshet fachim bishayara dibur Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that this is limited only to a caravan. Meaning that the idea that this wall is going to serve as a wall only is in the context of a caravan where there is a greater need for such. The Chachamim said the caravan is just an example, but anyone can make use of these types of walls. And then the Mishnah says, any mechitza that's not made up both of Shesti and of Erev is not going to be a mechitza. That is the opinion of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Now, what he seems to be saying is that if it's only made up of either the vertical or the horizontal, it's just simply not good. It's not going to be a good mechitza. Stay tuned as we're going to sharpen our understanding of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda a little bit later in the Gemara. We'll probably end with that point today. Anyway, v'chachamim omrim echad mishnei dvarim. And the chachamim say no. A wall could be made up of just a horizontal, or the wall could be made up of just a vertical, that would be fine, that would be considered a wall. The Chachamim seem to be reiterating the same point that was made by the Chachamim in the first part of the Mishnah. Is there a difference between the latter Chachamim and the earlier Chachamim? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss that, but we're not going to get there today. We'll do that tomorrow. Imirza Hashem. Amar Rav Amnuna, Amar Rav Hari, Amru Omen, Meruba Laparetz, B'Shesi Havi Omen. So, let's start off with a point where we can all agree upon, and that is that, like we discussed in the previous Mishnah, if I'm making a wall by putting material with a gap, and material and a gap, so it, we could view it as vertical. It's not exactly vertical, but you understand that it's basically material, gap. So it's well understood under those circumstances that you have, in total, a vala mechitza. Right? The way Rashi describes it over here, the first Rashi in the Gemara, I'm reading the last line and a half of the Rashi, stam kli behema shoshesihu. Then when we're talking about the kalim of an animal, so we're viewing that as vertical. Sho'omed al gabe karka, because it's standing on the ground. Okay. So if I have the kind of enclosure that we described in the previous Mishnah, where it's a kli and then a gap of airspace, as long as I have more kli than airspace, it's for sure going to be good, and there's nothing to discuss. That's clear. Now, by Rav Hamnuna, but Rav Hamnuna says, ba'arev mahu, mai. But what would be regarding the horizontal? If by the horizontal I have more gap than airspace, is that going to be considered a valid wall? Now, I'm Rabbi Tashma. Now, at this point in time, it is not abundantly clear what he's asking. So what the Gemara is going to do is going to try to formulate what the question is, and then obviously we'll get to the answer. But what exactly was the question of Rav Hamnuna? So from Abaye's understanding, or from the way Abaye understands the Mishnah, it will be clear. So Tashma, Shir Chavalim Va'ovian Yeser Al Tefech Sheyeh Kol Asar Tvachim. We go to our Mishnah that we just learned together. Our Mishnah taught us that when I have ropes, as long as the ropes coupled with the gaps of less than 3 tvachim are going to make a total of 10 tvachim, so then what I have is a wall. Now, So Abaye says this is what Rav Hamnuna was asking. Is it really necessary for the rope to be of a certain girth? That I need the rope to be somewhere around a third of a tefach wide, it's really not necessary, because consider, here's what you can do. You could take a string, and the thinnest string in the world, 3 of them, and you can make a valid wall. How are you going to do that? So here's how you're going to do it. What you'll do is that you will take the string, put it proximate to the ground, a little bit less than 3 tefachim. You'll take another string, and you'll move that above it a little bit less than 3 tefachim. What do I have now? So just at that point in time, I have 6 tvachim of wall. Now we could put the wall, word wall in quotes because it's a halachic wall. It's not a bona fide wall, but I have a wall. And now, what do I have? If I put a string above that at a distance of 4 tvachim, so yes, it's true, I don't have love it anymore. But you know what I have in total? I've got 10 tvachim. 10 tvachim where the majority of it, 6 tvachim of it is comprised of wall. Albeit halachic wall, but still it's wall. And so, look, why didn't the Mishnah say that? So here's what the Mishnah could have done. The Mishnah could have given such a scenario. And even though it's true that I have 4 empty spaces, but of the 10 tefachim, I have a total of 6 filled in spaces. Again, I know, halachically filled in, but I have 6 filled in spaces, and then I have a gap of 4. Okay, so shouldn't that work? And what Abaye is saying is, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah didn't give such a suggestion, it's clear that it doesn't work. So by the horizontal walls, we do not say that Omid Merubah Laparetz works based on what we just concluded. So if it's Hizbra, the Gemara says, okay, but I got to tell you, as much as this logic and this argument is super creative, but let's actually play this out. How exactly am I going to configure my wall using the thinnest strings? Hi Pachos Me'arba Hechemokim La. Specifically, I have now this gap of 4. Where am I putting it? Now, there really are 3 options, because remember now, in our horizontal wall, we have really 3 sections. The lowest, the middle, and the top section. So where am I putting this gap of 4? So, now for multiple times this morning, we have this idea that if this gap of 4 is the bottom section, so now the goats can walk in and out unimpeded, and that is for sure going to be a failure of wall. That we already discussed. So the Gemara says, so the gap of 4 cannot be the lowest section. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to put the gap before on the top section. I can't do that. Because now, look at that top string of that top section. Where? How is it surrounded? So the area below is a gap before. That's airspace. The area above is basically the entire sky. That's also airspace. And like we said, when I have wall, in this case, it's not even a wall. It's just a string. When I have a string that has air below and air above, so mevatale, it's totally negated, it's totally nullified. So that's not going to work. And imokim la b'mitzia. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're basically left with one more option, and that is putting that gap of four in the middle section. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's not going to work. Because now, havale omen meruba la parts mishtei ruchos. So consider over here. And when I look at the wall now in total, do I have more wall than airspace? The answer is yes. But only through the combination of the lower section and the top section. The lower section is 3 tefachim. The top section is 3 tefachim. That middle section is 4 tefachim. So only when I combine the lower and the top, now, then and only then do I have more of an excess of wall than I have airspace. If I just look at them side by side, meaning lower to middle, 3 to 4. 3 wall, 4 airspace. If I do middle to top, also 4 airspace, 3 wall. That's no good. Now, if you remember, this was a point of dispute. Meaning, if I have more wall than airspace, but only through combining the both sides, so is that going to be valid or is not going to be valid? So you'll recall we discussed this just a short couple days ago, and we arrived at no conclusion. This is one of those issues where it's inconclusive. And the Gemara says the problem now is that if this would have worked, so then we would have had a conclusion. So shamas mine omen ruba la parts mishe ruchos havi ome. So the Gemara says, do you want to conclude that if I have more wall than airspace, but only through combining both sides of it, then and only then is it going to be good? Then you conclude on an issue which we know there is no conclusion to. So the Gemara says, so that's not the question of Rav Hamnuna. So as much as it was a really creative argument, but the Gemara notes, it's just simply impossible. Meaning even if I use strings instead of the thicker ropes, there's no way to create a scenario in which I have more wall than airspace. So the Gemara says, Ela Rav Hamnuna hachi kami bai lekegon da'isi machatzelas da'vizayin umashu v'chakak ba'gimel v'shavak ba'dalid umashu v'ukma b'pachus migimel. So the Gemara says, okay, the question of Rav Hamnuna is somewhat more complex. If you have a picture in front of you, it would be really helpful. But basically what I have is I have a mat of 7 tefachim. On the lower section, the 3 tefachim of it are carved out. And what I have now is I placed it just a little bit below 3 tefachim from the floor. So now the gap on the lower section is filled in because of lavud. There is a 3 tefach gap right now in the middle of the mat. But at the same time, however, the top of the mat, you have 4 tefachim of wall. And in total, now I have a total of 10 tefachim. But the total of 10 tefachim now has in it a gap right in the middle of 3 tefachim. That's the question of Rav Hamnuna. That's one way I understand his question. The Gemara doesn't respond to the question, but at least now we have a picture of what his question was. Rav Ashi Amar Mechitza Tluya Ibayilei. And Rav Ashi says, no, that wasn't the question of Rav Hamnuna, but it goes back to another point that we already discussed, which is, Kedabai Mine Rav Tavla Mirav Mechitza Tluya Maushe Tati Bechurva. Let's say I have a suspended wall. So that means to say that the wall is valid. It's got 10 tefachim to it. It's just simply not connected to the ground. It's suspended in air. Is that going to be good? Do we allow the mechanism of walls headed downward? Right? Good achis. Is that going to be able to complete the wall? And is this going to work in a ruined area? Mechorva just simply means it's an area that itself does not have walls around it. So Amalei in mechitza tulia materas ala b'mayim kalu shikilu chachamim b'mayim. An idea that we've gone over numerous times here in our first parak of Erevin is that no, suspended walls, hanging walls is only a leniency that is allowed vis-a-vis water in order to be able to draw water on Shabbos. Again, we go back to the classic case of the boat where on the side of the boat you have a box with a hollow bottom to it allowing you to draw water from the river or whatever the boat's going through. And under those circumstances it's allowed because, again, the importance of water, but only under those circumstances. No other area is a suspended wall going to work. Anyway, we have now Rav Hamnuna asking a question. We weren't sure what his question was. The Gemara has concluded that basically we have two ways to set up his question. either the case of the mat being seven tefachim, where I made a hole in the three tefachim, and it is placed just short of three tefachim from the ground. That's one way to understand this question. The Gemara leaves that question unresolved. Or the other way to understand this question is that it is just a question of the classic question of mechitza tluya, whether that's going to serve as a mechitza or that's not going to be serving as a mechitza. That's the second way to understand this question. Okay, this is a good place to stop because we're going to go back to the topic of the Mishnah Shayara. I'll leave it for tomorrow, as that we'll really be able to start a new sugya. Let's review what we saw today. We concluded today on the discussion of parts call made. When I have a wall and I have equal amounts of airspace and wall, is that going to be a valid wall or not? If I have more wall than airspace, that clearly is a wall. If I have more airspace and wall, that clearly is not a wall. But let's say it comes out to equal amounts, parts call made. And this is a major sugya here in the first paragraph of Erevin, and it covers nearly a daf of Gemara. It starts on Tezvav Amud Beis, right after the Mishnah, Machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. Rav Papa says that parts ka'omid is mutter, meaning it's a wall, and Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua says that parts ka'omid is not a mechitza, and it's not going to be serving as a wall. And what we've done since they presented their positions is that we have gone through numerous Mishnayos and Braisos, each one of them being a support to one over the other. At the conclusion of the discussion, the Gemara says, look, we have a Braisa that clearly is a nod towards the position of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. And then the Gemara concludes that the halacha is like Rav Papa, that parts kom is considered a mechitza. That's a funny conclusion. The Gemara notes, after you've refuted the position of Rav Papa, now the halacha falls like Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, yes, because there are other sources. There's another Mishnah that certainly reads like Rav Papa. So when all said and done, the Gemara's conclusion, like Rav Papa, parts kom is a mechitza. It's going to be mutter. And what we noted, Tosos noted, is that although the conclusion over here is that parts kol is considered a mechitza, meanwhile, by the mitzvah of shechita, where you cut 50%, that is not going to be a valid shechita, and so therefore, a distinction has to be drawn between a mechitza and iser, and shechita. What exactly is the distinction? So Tosos leads it off with homework. Tosos says that a distinction has to be made, and it's up to us to make the distinction. Well, the good news is that there are other Rishonim who understand that this distinction has to be made, and they formulate it, and there's just a lot more to discuss on the topic. Our second big discussion this morning was about making these quote-unquote inferior walls, walls that are constructed through the halachic principle of lavud. Either we did so vertically or we did so horizontally, and the Mishnah told us that it's going to be a valid wall, because any gap that's less than three tefachim is going to be considered as if it's filled in. That's the principle of lavud, and that would work both vertically and horizontally. If, however, the wall was only constructed in this manner, so are there any limitations of the wall? The answer is it's a machlokes hatanayim. So in the Mishnah, we represent the three opinions: Rav Yehuda the Chachamim and Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says that there are limitations. This wall is only allowable for a caravan, a special dispensation made for a group of people traveling. The Chachamim said that no, the caravan is just an example, but it would work for anybody. And Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda seems to suggest in the Mishnah that it doesn't work at all. And then the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah said, no, it works. And we'll discuss how to understand the sheet of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, how to understand the sheet of the Chachamim. That is coming up. And finally, the Gemara's discussion, Rav Hamanuna started off with a premise that when I'm making a wall and I have more wall than airspace, that obviously is good, even if it's just vertical, like we discussed in the beginning of the daf. If, let's say, by horizontally, I have more wall than airspace from a horizontal plane, so is that going to be good or is that not going to be good? What was the question of Rav Hamanuna? So that wasn't perfectly clear. So we had two ways to understand it. We either it was the case of the mat of seven, where three were carved out, or it was the question of Mechitza Teluya. Okay, and that's it. That's as far as we got to today. Tomorrow we'll be discussing the better understanding of the Shitas and the Mishnah of whether or not there are any halachic limitations on this wall that's constructed only horizontally.